This morning I'd like to speak to you for just a few moments on the subject, the answer is who, not what. The answer is who, not what. If you have your Bible, the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, we'll be there in just a moment. This is the third message in our O Come Let Us Adore Him series. In the children's play, we saw the shepherds and the wise men as they came to the manger looking for Jesus. And it reminded me of a couple of little stories. I thought of the parents who had two little boys who were very mischief. 8-year-olds and 10-year-old boys, you know how they are. They were always into something. And mom and dad thought, you know, we're going to take them down and have the preacher talk to them. And surely he can help straighten our boys out. Well, they made an appointment with the pastor. They got down there. The little 8-year-old boy went into the pastor's office first. His 10-year-old brother waited outside the door. And the pastor wanted to emphasize to these boys that God saw them, and God was watching them, and God saw everything that they did. And so the boy sat down, and the preacher looked at it, the little boy, and in a very stern voice, he said, "Where is God?" And he's wanting him to realize God is everywhere. Well, the little boy sat there for a moment, never answered, so the preacher looked back at him and just a little more forcefully said, "Where is God?" Well, the little boy raised his eyebrows. He's getting scared. He doesn't know what to do now. In a moment, the preacher asked him a third time. He said, "Where is God?" And the little boy jumped up. He ran out the door. Yeah, he ran down the hallway. His older brother started chasing him. They got outside the church building, and his older brother said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He said, "We're in big trouble now. God's missing, and they think we took him." I remember about the little boy who told his mommy, he said, "Mommy, I sure want a bicycle for Christmas. Do you think I can get one?" And she said, "Well, why don't you write Jesus a letter and say, 'Jesus, I'd really like to have a bicycle.'" And he said, "Okay." So he went upstairs and he got out his pencil and paper and he started writing. He said, "Dear Jesus, you know I've been a very good boy." He looked at that and he wadded that paper up, threw it in the trash, and he started writing again, and he said, "Now, dear Jesus, you know I've been pretty good this year." He read that again. He thought, "I don't know." So he wadded it up and threw it in the trash. He thought for a minute. He went downstairs. His mom had a nativity scene sitting there on the counter. He looked at it for a moment. He reached over and took the Virgin Mary out of the manger scene. He ran back upstairs and slid her under his mattress. He sat down and he started writing. He said, "Okay, Jesus, if you ever want to see your mama again..." Ah, well, I'm going to preach in a minute, I promise I will. I like the way Tim puts in our bulletin, he puts the title of the message of the sermon, a lot of times the text and all. I was looking at one church bulletin and it said, "The pastor's sermon this morning, Jesus walks on water." The title of the pastor's message tonight is "Searching for Jesus." Well, you have to think about it. Okay. Well, all right, I'll move on then. This morning we're talking about the answer is who, not what. Well, would you stand with me out of respect to the Word of God, and we'll just read Matthew chapter number 1. I just want to read verses 18 down through 21 if we can. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.'" Our text verse is the last part of verse number 21. "He shall save his people from their sins." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I tell you in prayer this morning, what an awesome job, responsibility, and privilege to stand before this congregation this morning and to share what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Lord, would you help us this morning to understand all that was wrapped up in that baby in the manger there. Father, this morning, meet the need of every heart that's here. Because in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The manger where Jesus was born was a common stable where animals were kept. There would have been wet hay there. There would have been probably several animals there. There was no doubt the smell of manure in the air. It was not some spotless delivery room in a fine hospital. The place where Jesus was born was a mess. Into that humble abode, Jesus, our Savior of mankind, entered in the world. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus came to be involved in our messy lives. Amen? Now, you stay with me now. We won't be long if you'll stay with me. I like what I heard a preacher say the other day. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Listen, Jesus came to be involved in our messy lives. Amen? That's what it's all about. The shepherds and the wise men came seeking the one who was born King of the Jews. I loved it when they came running down the aisles hollering, "Did you hear? Did you hear?" It gave me goosebumps. I wanted to get up and run with them up here when they bowed down to worship. But I wonder this morning, what are you seeking today? Are you looking for peace? You looking for direction? You looking for the meaning in life? Are you looking for contentment, for love, for acceptance, for forgiveness, for freedom, for deliverance? I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever you're looking for, you can find it in Bethlehem's manger. As serious as old, come let us adore Him. If I could borrow just a few thoughts from A.W. Peake, a very influential theologian of the 20th century, I want to give you four reasons why I believe that we come to adore Him this morning. The text said, "And he shall bring, she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." First of all, I believe this morning we can come and adore Him because He has delivered us. He has set us free from the penalty of sin. Amen? Scripture repeatedly calls Jesus, this child in the manger, our Savior. Isaiah would cry out and proclaim, "Our God of Israel, our Savior." He would again say, "There is no God else beside Thee. You are our God and our Savior." That was our Savior that was born in Bethlehem's manger. Essential truth that Jesus Christ delivers us from that which we cannot rescue ourselves, from our sin and our eternal consequences. When we talk about being a Christian and being saved, it's the same thing. The Bible makes it very clear there is only one Savior. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given by men by which ye must be saved." It is only through Jesus Christ that we find salvation today. Every individual in the entire world is in the need of salvation. Every person that is ever born is born under the penalty of sin. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray." And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent His Son to pay the penalty of our sin, to pay the punishment of our sin. See, His death paid the penalty in full. If we'll simply admit our sinful condition and ask Jesus to be our Savior, He will do that. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says, "As thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You've got to not only believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe that He came to this world, believe that He died for you on the cross of Calvary, but you've got to embrace it with all of your heart this morning. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, understand, number one, He will deliver us from the penalty of sin. Every person who puts their trust in Jesus has been saved. Not only that, we see this morning, second of all, we can adore Him because He came to deliver us from the pleasure of sin. You see, once we are saved, our desires change. Our want-tos change. He saved us from the pleasure of sin. The things that we once thought brought pleasure to us no longer hold that attraction. And the reason is because Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we've become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. things in a whole new light. We see things in an eternal view, not just an earthly view. I was speaking the other day of Kenny Guthrie, one of the young people that was in our youth department when we were working with teenagers down in Dallas many years ago. Kenny was a star running back of the local high school. Kenny told me one day, Kenny had kept the church, he'd gotten saved, God did a glorious work in his life. And he was probably about a senior in high school. He told me one day, he said, "Dave, my buddies called me and said, Kenny, you want to go out and get drunk with us tonight?" And he said, "I'd love to." And they said, "Okay, we'll be by and pick you up about 8 o'clock. He said, "I can't go." And they said, "But I thought you said you'd like to go." He said, "I'd love to go, but I can't." And they said, "Why?" He said, "Because my want to's changed. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. Maybe the old me, the old flesh, the old self wanted to do those things, but I don't find pleasure in them anymore." If you are a child of God, your want to's will change. He came to save us from the pleasure of sin. We can come, the scripture says, "Oh, come, let us adore him, because he's delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the pleasure of sin." But we take it another step further. He has come to deliver us from the power of sin. You understand that the salvation that he gives delivers us from the attraction that it takes a step further? He delivers us even from the power of sin. It has no more dominion over me. The power of sin to enslave us has been broken. Jesus, through his presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, he now lives in our heart, and he brings the power and the determination to live a godly and a holy life. The power of sin is now broken in our life. Oh, well, we still struggle with sin. Yes, we do. John, 1 John warned us about that. He said, "If we say we have no sin, then the truth is not in us, and we lie." Sin will always be with the Christian as long as we live on this earth. But we do not have to live a life that is defeated and controlled by sin. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have victory over sin and temptation. The addict, once they get saved, they find that the drugs no longer hold a power over them. We understand that the alcoholic, when they get saved and turn their life over to Jesus, the alcohol no longer holds that power over them. That abusive spouse, when they really get the Holy Spirit in their life, they find that attitude no longer controls them. Whatever is holding you captive today, whatever is enslaving you today, God wants to deliver you from that sin. God wants to set you free from the power of sin today. Amen? We adore him because he delivered us from the penalty of sin, the pleasure of sin, the power of sin. But brother, let me tell you, it is just getting started. Because what Jesus has done for us is going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. I don't know about you, but I get a little tired of this old world. I get tired of the hurts and the pains. I get tired of the struggles and the heartaches. I get tired of the sickness and the disease. I get tired of the death. But one of these days, it's all going to be over. The trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. I'm looking for that day when I'm delivered. That dog will hunt now. If you get with me, we'll go somewhere here. If you wasn't here last week, I can do the floss now, okay? You'll have to look at Facebook to see that. I'm telling you, I got preached pent up inside of me. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to go. We've got so much to be thankful for this morning. If you're here today and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not here by accident. You are here on a divine appointment. God brought you here so you could hear that there is none righteous, no, not one. God brought you here today so you would hear that he loves you. God brought you here today so you would hear there was a baby that was born in a manger that would one day die on the cross and Calvary would pay the debt of your sin. And if you've never come face to face with that in reality, if you have never placed your faith and trust in him, we should have an invitation in a moment. And when we do, I want you to come, and one of our altar workers will show you from a Bible how you can have a home in heaven. See, it doesn't matter what the church thinks. Doesn't matter what the preacher says. Doesn't matter what your friend says. What matters is what does the Word of God say.
And if you want to spend eternity in heaven, you need to know that you have Jesus in your heart. Savannah, come. I'm reminded of the story of a little boy. His daddy told him, said, I'm going to send you to, they live out in the country, and he said, I'm going to send you to the big city to see your aunt, spend some time with her. That was back during the days where they used the train. The little boy was a little afraid. He said, Dad, I don't know if I'll be okay on the train by myself. Dad said, you'll be all right. Well, the little boy went down. Daddy put him on the train that day, and the little boy was a little apprehensive, a little anxiety, a little stress. And he sat down, and one little longer, he got in there and sat down. The conductor came in and sat down beside him. And the conductor just started talking to him. Just started listening with him. Finding out what his name was, where he was going. The little boy was just having a good time talking to the conductor. And just a little bit, there was the newsboy came by. And the newsboy said, here, let me give you an apple. You may want to eat an apple while we're on the train. Hey, I tell you what, I got some candy. Do you like candy? And he gave him the little boy some candy. And then they gave him a picture book to look at. Boy, the little boy's all excited. The first thing he knew, the train ride to his aunt's house was over. And he got off the train and he thought, what do I do now? And there was a man driving a cab that was parked there. And he said, hi there, little Johnny. He said, I'm here to take you to your aunt's house. And he didn't even know, well, this is something. And he got in the cab and he took him to his aunt's house. And the little boy thought, this is a miracle. So good. He found out years later, his daddy had arranged everything. His daddy had talked to the conductor on the train and said, he's going to be traveling by himself. Will you sit and talk to him? And his daddy went to the newsboy and said, listen, he's going to get hungry on the train. I'm going to give you some money. Will you give him some things to eat? And daddy made a phone call to the cab company and said, my boy's going to get off the train, and when he does, would you take him to his aunt's house? You see, everything was okay because daddy had already made the arrangements. Now, you with me? I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're burdened about. I don't know what you're concerned about. But I'm telling you, you've got a heavenly Father in heaven who loves you, who's already paid the price of the penalty of your sin, of the pleasure of your sin, of the power of your sin. And one of these days, he's going to deliver us from the very presence of his sin. Do you know for a fact you're going to heaven? If not, you come. We want to show you how you can go. Let's stand, if you will. We have a word of prayer. Savannah's going to sing in just a moment. Father, I come to you in prayer.